Welcome to Freedom from CPTSD and Anxiety. I'm your host, Monique Coven. I'm a certified trauma, recovery, and resilience coach, and I've recovered from chronic PTSD, from childhood trauma. This podcast is all about hope and recovery. Hi, everyone, and welcome to the podcast. So I think it's a few weeks back, I did an episode called, I think it is, It's Not Yours to Carry. And this episode today is kind of along the same lines, just I'm seeing something a little bit deeper. And I think that this topic of burdens and carrying stuff is really going to be an ongoing topic because it's something that is always coming up for us as trauma survivors. So I think last time I talked about it kind of in a general way. And this time I'm talking about carrying other people's psychology, really, or responses. And that's huge. That's deep. So I hope you'll find this episode helpful. And I hope that you'll get your own insights that will be useful for you as you're recovering from your trauma. The way I decide on my topics when I record an episode is really, I don't like plan it out. I really just wait for, I guess, kind of inspiration. If I see something that I see in a deeper way, or I get a deep insight into something. And by the way, that is recovery. That is how we change. We start to see and understand things differently. And I wanted to share what was on my mind. So I had been thinking about, and I even did a post on Instagram about this knapsack. I had a dream about this backpack, and the backpack was on my back, and I had to go attend to something. And so I took off the backpack and put it on the corner of the street and said to myself, I will pick it up later. I hope nobody takes it, but it's got some important things in there, but I really need to attend to what I need to do. And so I did what I had to do, and then I went back to the corner of the street, and the knapsack was gone. And at first, I could feel a bit alarmed, like, oh my goodness, my personal items are in there. And then it occurred to me that I didn't really need all those things in the bag. And I could sense relief. And I woke up. And then I thought about the dream, and I thought, gee, you know, that is how a lot of us feel in our experience of life. We are carrying around often an invisible backpack, and it's got all kinds of stuff in it, and stuff that we think is ours to deal with, our personal property. I mean, we each have our own stuff in that backpack, and it's up to us to really take a look at what that is. But it was interesting because when in the dream the backpack was gone, I felt relief. And it made me ponder and think about some of the things that I am still carrying that are causing me to still feel some weight. And trauma recovery is a journey. We are continually seeing new stuff, new things unfold. What I might have seen, you know, even at the beginning of my trauma recovery, I might see differently now, or I might see more deeply. And I think that that's part of that backpack. I think I let go of a lot of stuff that made my life so much easier. But there was still stuff that I was carrying because I could feel some tightness. And so I started to think about, well, what is it? What am I still carrying? And very quickly, I saw what it was. And I saw that I still had more to see about understanding in a deep, profound way that I am not responsible for other adults, for other people's psychology, for other people's states of mind. This is huge because many of us who are trauma survivors, we were desperate to feel safe and to get out of chaos and harm. And so we kind of decided that we will do whatever it takes to make things better. And for some of us, we took on the belief that we have to control and step up and do something to change maybe the caregiver or the people that were hurting us so that we can feel better and safe. And when this is done constantly, like continually, and for many of us it was, it's conditioned in. And it becomes almost our normal go-to, so that when we see that other people are experiencing dysregulation or, their states of mind are not the way we want them to be, we might instantly feel stressed or very uncomfortable. And our go-to is often, we got to figure it out. We got to stop this. We got to make them see things differently. And we pick that up, that go-to, very early. And so I grew up with a lot of chaos and dysregulation. And I've mentioned in previous episodes, I was put in the role very, very young as being the therapist and the logical one. And I thought, well, I've got to knock some sense into my caregiver so that I can be safe. And so I would, talk and talk until I was blue in the face. And boy, I really sounded I was very smart for a young one because it was like I saw life clearly, it seemed to me anyway, and I could not understand that I'd spend hours and hours explaining why things needed to change, why the relationship that she was in the moment was dangerous and chaotic and things should be different and could be different. The response would be listening and then doing the exact opposite, always, always. And this would happen with all of the different, many, many different relationships that my caregiver had. And each one was causing such hell and chaos for me that it was all I knew to do to hope and pray that she would see things my way, my reality, the realities, and do something and change. And it was so frustrating because, like I said, it never, never happened. And I used to get really upset and frustrated and angry, and I felt completely helpless. And what I didn't understand, which I've come to understand since my recovery, is that my reality was my reality, and her reality was her reality. So what I mean by that is that we are actually all living in our own separate realities. What appears and feels real to one person, the same thing can feel and seem completely different to another. The exact same situation. And that's because we are living in our own reality. So when I say that, I think of this cartoon that I loved. I loved it. When the kids would watch it, I would join in, and I don't know, I liked it so much, I think, because I like stupid humor. But it was SpongeBob. And I'm thinking of a character in particular who, I think her name was Sandy, and she was a squirrel that lived with them underwater. And she had on top of her head, I think it was a fish tank. So that enabled her to almost be able to live in their reality, but in her reality. So in her, she could live. And so it kind of reminds me of what human beings are like, in that each of us has this invisible fish tank on top of our head that is our own reality according to how we're thinking, believing, responding, our own trauma histories, meaning our histories, and how we are responding to them in the moment. And so if somebody is responding differently as I am, it's because how they're seeing a situation is really whatever's going on in their mind in the moment. So for example, while I could see things as a child logically, you know, this is not good, this is unhealthy, this is dangerous, this isn't safe, stop it. What my caregiver saw was, you know, I can't probably, I mean, I'm just assuming, I don't know for sure. Like I said, I was not in her head and I can't possibly be in her mind. But what I'm assuming is that her reality was, I can't be alone. No matter how bad it is, I need to have this relationship desperately. And I'm going to do whatever it takes to keep this relationship going, and fear, and, you know, fear of abandonment. And that's all I see. And I remember my own history when my father left, when he did this and that with my mother, and et cetera, et cetera. And so her reality in the moment was whatever was going on in her own thinking. Because the way that we're designed as human beings is that our reality, our experience, meaning our felt experience, is what is going through in our mind in the moment and in our body. That's our felt experience of life. And that is why it's our reality. And that's why different people will have different realities according to what's happening in their mind. And I didn't see that before. I didn't understand that before. And that's why it can be so very frustrating when we try to get others to see things our way or to feel what we felt. And when we don't see it replicated, we just get angry and frustrated. I keep saying the word frustrated because it feels so frustrating, because the truth is, we can't change someone's reality. And the more we try, we're going to be frustrated. And it is natural to want to do something about it so that we can feel better. But chances are we've had experiences over and over and over and over again where we try to change someone's reality, internal reality, their thinking. And often it falls short. And understanding the why takes a little bit of the sting out, a little bit. So I wanted to talk about that because many of us are still carrying this idea that we are responsible for other people's moods, other people's reactions, other people's states. So in other words, if someone we love or someone we care about or even just someone that we are in a relationship with and they are behaving a certain way or feeling a certain way, it is so natural for us to want to jump in there and we kind of want to do something about it and fix it and take it on. And that's what's in the backpack. It's in the backpack because it's been so conditioned into us to think, to believe that we have the power to change. And even as I say to think we have the power, I don't mean like we literally believe that. I think it's more like a hope. We have a hope that we can change it. And then if we change it and they change, we'll feel safer. And part of this healing journey, a big part, is really looking at those things in our backpack that we just have to see and understand that the fight, the resistance that we are having to what is, in other words, to the other's state of mind, the way they are, the way they think, the resistance that we're having towards it, the wanting to change it, the desperation, that is impossible. It's impossible. I remember hearing somebody say, my goodness, you know, I'm not even in control often of what I think, and I can't change certain things. How on earth do I think I can change someone else? I remember when I heard that, I thought, exactly. And yet I was still lugging around the backpack. And when I got quiet and I started to think about it, I realized, wow, I'm still carrying some of that stuff. And I don't want it. I don't want it. I'm not designed to carry other people's burdens. I'm not designed to change someone's reality. I mean, I'm not God and I don't have that power. I don't claim to have, I don't want it. And it's not my job to do that. Even as I say that, I can feel in my body a sense of relief because it's not our job. It never was our job. But somewhere along the way, we thought it was. And we thought that by doing it, maybe we can be safe. Well, the truth is that we can be safe anyway. Everybody has their own.
Their own load to carry. And I know that hearing that, I know for myself when I first started thinking about that, my first reaction was, oh, that's very selfish. But again, that comes from often those of us who have had some form of narcissistic type caregiving. We were either told that we were selfish for having needs, or it was implied. And we have this belief deep down inside of us that we're selfish. But everybody is responsible for their own life and their own states and their own psychology. And we just came to believe that somehow it's our responsibility to help, change, fix somebody else's mental state or their condition. And that's impossible. It really is. It's impossible. But what I wanted to point out is that what really is causing us the most pain is this resistance to what is. That is what is causing us suffering. So it's this resistance to what is, and what is that we cannot be in somebody else's head and rearrange their thinking to our liking. We cannot expect people to behave and respond the way that we want because it's just not how it works. And so to keep believing that somehow we have the power to do that, we're going to suffer. And so it's off our plates. It's off our plates. It's a big one. It's a big one. And it's hard for many of us to accept or to even imagine. But it's true. It's really true. So I'm going to leave you with that. I think there's a lot to think about and see what feels right for you. For many of us, this is how we change. We start to see things deeply to the point where they really impact the way we live and the way we respond. So can you just imagine if we actually did that? The freedom that we would feel if we weren't
responsible for other people, for other people's well-being, for other adults' well-being. Imagine. I think that we would feel a lot lighter. So it's a lot to think about, and I hope that you will get some insight that will be helpful for you as you are working through your own recovery. If you'd like to get in touch with me with regards to my coaching, you can reach me on my website at www.cptsdcoach.com. You can visit me on Facebook and Instagram, also at cptsdcoach. Until the next episode, have a great day and take good care.